Today's scripture before our sermon is Psalm 96, 1 through 6. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless his name. Tell of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous works among all the peoples. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the peoples are worthless idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are at his sanctuary.
Amen. Thank you, Gary. All right, so we're in Psalms 96 today. A little fun fact in case you did not know. As Christians, we are called to be messengers. But not just any messengers. We're called to be actually heralds. The online dictionary defines a herald as a messenger bringing news or signs that something is about to happen. An official employed to oversee state ceremony, make proclamations, or carry ceremonial messages. As gospel heralds, we are messengers sent out to declare the glory of God. We are to share the good news of the gospel. And Psalms 96 says, as believers in God, we actually ought to declare this glory, his glory to all people. It actually calls the people of God, all the nations of the earth, and even creation itself to glorify God. There is no author mentioned in Psalms 96, but if you go down to the later half of Psalms 96, it actually contains the middle verses of the psalm that David sang when he brought the Ark of the Covenant back to Jerusalem. So a lot of theologians accredit this psalm to David. So today we're going to look at Psalm 96, and we're going to ask ourselves the question is, how can we today be a part of the nations declaring the glory of God? And we're going to talk about that in specific in three ways. And that's us continually worshiping with a new heart, continually turning worship into the witness of the gospel, and continually sharing our stories of the grace and goodness of God. But before we jump into this, let's pray one more time. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much for an opportunity to open up your word, Lord. We don't take that for granted. For once, there was no opportunity to do that. You had to receive a word. We had to go through priests and prophets. But you have given us the opportunity to go to you directly. And we don't want to take that for granted, Lord. So we ask that you decrease us, allow your anointing to flow through that, Lord. We don't leave this place the same way that we came. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. So the first way that we're going to talk about is how can we declare the glory of God today is through continually worshiping with a fresh heart. The first half of verse 1 says, oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. The word new here is the Greek word, the Hebrew word. It is hadash. It means new or fresh. It's actually the same word that God uses in Ezekiel 36 and 26 when he says, I will give you a new heart and a new spirit I will put within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. Some translation says, I'm going to give you a heart that is a responsive heart, or a God-willed heart, not a self-willed heart. Through faith in Christ, we gain something new. We gain a new and refreshed awareness of God's mercy and grace upon our lives. We our eyes are opened. And as the scripture says, he removes the stoniness. And once our eyes are open, it should cause us to do something. Psalm 96 says, when you have this new heart, this new awareness, it should cause you to sing to the Lord. We get up here and we can sing songs repeatedly over and over again. Why? Because we have a heart that has been refreshed, a heart that is renewed. Every time we hear a song and we sing it once again, it should cause us to remind us of the grace and mercy and power that the Lord has shown us. It removes the stoniness and give us a heart that can freshly appreciate God. We have a new heart and a new spirit. And it opens our eyes to his work in our lives. How many of us have grown up with dogs or have dogs? My wife is not raising her hand because she's saying it's not by my choice that we have dogs. But if you know anything about a dog, when they're properly cared for and loved, they adore their masters. No matter how much time passes after you leave your home, whether a day, a few minutes, a few hours, every time you walk back in the door and your dog sees you, what happens? He wags his tail. He gets excited. If it's my dog, you tell him to sit, his paws just keep moving. And they're excited. Why? Their hearts leap with joy each new sighting. It excites them to see their master who has loved and cared for them. The sight of their master never gets old. We are to be the same. I know anybody with social media, you have seen the videos online when a soldier comes back from war and the dog looks at them like, wait, who are you? And then once they realize it, what do? They run in excitement and they can't be still. Why? Because nothing matters to them in that moment. Once their master gets in their sights, everything else is irrelevant. We are to be the same. Drew, that's another one for you. Yes, I'm telling you to be like a dog. He has a collection of weird things I say, so if you ever want to know, just ask Drew. When we think about the Lord, his goodness, his grace, and his mercy on our lives, it should cause our hearts to leap in worship. We have a fresh heart and a fresh anointing, a fresh reminder of the Lord has been good to us. It should cause us to have a heart which a song pours out every time Christ comes to our mind's eye, where nothing else matters but leaping and rejoicing and enjoying the presence of our Savior. The second half of verse 1 says, sing to the Lord all the earth. Now, this is specific. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Why? Because all the earth owe God's praise, whether you know it or not. If this is your first time hearing it, you owe God praise. Why? Because he is the Lord and creator of all things and all people, whether you acknowledge it or not. The psalm here is actually looking forward. He's looking forward to a day where all the earth will sing a new song to the Lord. It's described in Revelations 5 and 9. It says, and they sang a new song, saying, worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seal. For you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. I don't know how many times you can say everybody, but he figured out a way to do it. If you didn't get the picture, it's everybody. One day, everyone in every nation who has a relationship with God will give him praise. We don't currently live in that reality. If just turn on the TV for 5 seconds and he'll tell you that. But we can help the world get to this point. And Psalms 96 tells us in verse 1, it starts with a heartfelt worship to the Lord from his people. If we don't appreciate the Lord, his goodness, his grace, and his power, how do we expect the world to? How do heralds go about proclaiming their messages? They use something called fanfare. It's short musical attention grabbers. Is our life that for the Lord? Is your life a musical that draws people to the Lord? Do you know what people actually hear about what's happening and going on with the people of God has the power to either draw them to the Lord or draw them away? You can read tons of Old Testament scripture. You don't have a slide for this. Like Isaiah 52 and 5, Ezekiel 36 and 20, Ezekiel 36 and 23, where the Lord says that the nations despise me. Not because anything that the Lord had did, not because anything the Lord had said. He says, because of you, my children, the people who I called out of darkness and slavery, who I called by name, you caused the world to despise me because of your actions and what's happening among you. But if you fast forward to the New Testament, you see how when the church is caring for one another, when the church put the Lord first, it actually draws people to the Lord. It says thousands get saved because they realize that my heart needs to sing a song to the Lord. I need to worship God from a fresh heart, one that when he has moved away this stone and give me a heart that can appreciate and feel the work that he has done in my life. So how do we do that? We can begin this through just simple disciplines that build our praise and thankfulness to the Lord, such as start a daily gratitude journal. Get a whiteboard, put it on your refrigerator, and just write one thing you're thankful for. That way, every time you walk past it, you can stop and say, have a worship break to the Lord. Take praise and worship breaks throughout the day. Take 5 minutes, put on a worship song, and cut out the rest of reality. Give your attention only to the Lord. Let that start to build a worship account. The second way we can be a part of the world declaring the glory of God today is through continually turning worship into the witness of the gospel. Verse 2 says, sing to the Lord and bless his name. Tell of his salvation from day to day. That first half, sing to the Lord and bless his name. Why? There is a reason why we can have joyful worship. There is a reason why we sing the same songs as if they just popped into our head. There's a reason why, like the dogs, we just seen the master leave 2 seconds ago. He come back in the door and we're excited to see him again. Why? We can praise Jesus' name because there's good news. What, not rhetorical, I'm turning into moose. What is so good about good news? What happens to us when we get good news?
Gives us hope.
We want to tell other people about. Exactly. It delights us. It makes us happy. We become compelled to tell others. But what happens? Eventually, that good news is going to get old. It's temporary. But the good news of our redemption is sweet and joyous from day to day. It should never get old. It should never stop bringing us joy. It should never stop compelling us to tell someone about it. The joy of our salvation through Jesus' sinless life, death on the cross, and resurrection should never stop refreshing a playlist of worship in our hearts. When we think about that, we should leap in joy and worship. The great theologian Luther said, Christ is now as fresh unto me as if he has shed his blood this very hour. When you think about Christ,
Are you as thankful as if he just shed his blood for you this very hour? Or is your redemption old news? The second half of verse 2 tells us, tell of his salvation from day to day. And so we must get to the point where we are constantly singing this song of worship and gratitude, that it becomes gospel devotions for our heart, our voice, and our life that leads to gospel conversations. 2 Thessalonians 2:16 through 17 says, now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and gave us an eternal comfort and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish them in every good work and word. This is a prayer that the church may be comforted and confident in what God and Christ has done for us. And not just stop there, but that they start and they institute demonstrating the gospel in deed and word. The word here, the Greek word here that they use for word is logos. It means a word uttered by a living voice, embodies a conception or idea, the sayings of God, decree, moral perception given by God, discourse, doctrine, teaching of Christ or Christ himself. And the word day to day, I like this word, is yom. It's from a root word meaning to be hot. A day as the warm hours, where the literal from sunrise to sunset to the next day, or figurative, a space and time defined by an associate term, often used as the adverb always, chronically, continually, in a moment, daily, yearly, in all of life. So it's saying a day should never happen that we stop singing praises to God for the good news of his salvation and proclaiming that to others. Because every day and each morning and each evening, we should be compelled to tell someone of this great salvation. Because it's a never-ending joy for us. And it's an assurance that there was, not like other heroes, that there's something good that's about to happen. Something good already happened to us. Something good that gives us joy, peace, and hope for the future. And how could we not want to share that hope with everybody else? If we look out in the world, there's a world that's dying every day. We hear of some instance of someone being hurt, someone being killed. There's darkness all around us. How can we not be compelled to share the joy and hope that we have in Jesus Christ? But that happens when it becomes a joy for ourselves, when we are joyful about it, when we let our worship present opportunities for the gospel. How is your worship of Jesus? How is people, when they look at you, do they see Christ? And it makes them, why are you so happy? Why do you experience joy? And that worship gives us an opportunity to say, I'm happy because of this reason. I have the hope and joy of my salvation, which is Jesus. The third way we see here that we can help the world declare the glory of God today is through sharing our stories of his grace and goodness. Verse 3 says, declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous works among all the people. Salvation here is spoke of as the work and wonder in which the glory of God shines brightly. And as we share our stories of salvation, it gives us the opportunity to declare God's glory and shine our light brightly to all people. We must learn to take every opportunity God gives us to turn this worship into witness of his salvation and tell someone of our story, of how he's been good to us, how he has shown grace and mercy in our lives. I remember when I was sicker. At one point in my life, I was legally blind and in a wheelchair. And I used to be in and out of the hospital a lot, like somebody's saying, like, it's not normal now. But I used to be a lot more than I am now. And so I would get these things where I couldn't drive myself, of course. And so I would get medical rides where your medical insurance would pay for a cab ride to pick you up and take you to your appointments. And so I had to get to the hospital, and I had got a medical ride. And I can transfer from the wheelchair. I just couldn't stand for more than 3 to 2 minutes. The cab driver helped put my wheelchair in the car, and I transferred into the car. And we was just talking and stuff. And he said, "Oh, have you always been sick? Like, are you always been in a wheelchair?" I was like, "No. Happened in my earlier, I was in my early 20s then, but happened in my earlier 20s. And it was a Somali cab driver, and he said, "Why are you happy? I couldn't have been in your position and seem like happiness and have joy." And it gave me the opportunity to tell of the joy in my life. It gave me the opportunity to tell him about Christ. Now, I did the cab ride. We had a good conversation. Got out the cab, went into the hospital. I never seen the guy again. Do I know his story of his journey with Christ? No. Nor do I need to. My job was to share why I have a new song in my heart. Why I can have joy and hope in the midst of pain every second, not being able to see. I have hope for the future. In that moment, it was my job to share while it was hot, as the verse says, from day to day, while the moment was hot. God give us all opportunities this way. How are we letting the worship that we have, the admiration that we have for the Lord, shine so brightly that it presents opportunities to share the gospel, to share our stories? We tend to make evangelism harder than it needs to be. All we need to do is imitate Christ. Philippians 2 and 15 tells us, "So that you may be blameless and innocent children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation in which you shine like stars in the world." How is the grace of God in your life allowing you to shine like stars to this world? Because there's crookedness and darkness every time we go out the door. Just simply worship the Lord with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and let that pour out of you. Where you have opportunities to share your story with kindness and respect. 1 Peter 3 and 15 says, "But in your hearts, honor Christ, the Lord as honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is with, that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect." Oral storytelling has been around since ancient times. It's actually an intimate tradition between storyteller and audience. The online dictionary says this about storytelling. Storytelling creates a personal bond with the teller and the audience. Listeners also experience the urgency of a creative process taking place in their presence, and they experience the empowerment of being a part of that process. How are you telling people the story of God's grace and goodness in your life and empowering them to say, I want to know more about that God? The psalmist closes the thoughts out of this first section of Psalm 96 by stating, why we worship with a fresh heart, turn worship into witness, and share our stories. Psalms 96 and 4 through 6 says, for great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods, for all gods of the people are worthless idols. But the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. The salvation that God offers is real. And here in the Old Testament, it says it's for all people. I love scripture like Isaiah 44. 9 through 20, and Psalms 115. It talks about how worshiping idols is worthless. And we have a lot of idols that we worship today. Jeremiah 10, 2 through 6 says, their gods are like helpless scarecrows in a cucumber field. They cannot speak. They need to be carried because they cannot walk. Do not be afraid of such gods, for they can neither harm you nor do you any good. Lord, there is no one like you, for you are great and your name is full of power. A relationship with God was once declared only among the Jews, but now it can be declared to all people, nations and people who the Bible says once sat in darkness now can see this great light. And we as gospel heralds are commissioned to go declare this to the world. Psalm 96 says, we do that through worship and witness. How is the worship of the Lord in your life leading you to witness the gospel to people? Because it's a mandate of ours to do this not just to people we like, not just to people who look like us, but it says to all nations. One day all nations will declare that he is Lord. It says even the creation itself. May we continue to worship the Lord with all of our hearts, refreshed hearts, and let that lead to us witnessing his goodness and grace to the people around us. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much. Lord, we thank you of the grace that you have shown us, that you have called us once. We were sitting in darkness and you have called us into your marvelous light, but you don't want us to hold on to that light. You don't want us to sit that light under a bushel. You want us to sit it on a hill that we might shine brightly before this world and tell them of the hope that we have in you. Lord, renew our minds and our hearts, Lord, that we can freshly appreciate what you have done on the cross for us, Lord. Let it continually shape us and mold us into the heralds that you want us to be, to the messengers proclaiming that our God is good, our God is great, and he is here for all people. Let your goodness and grace continually be a song of worship in our hearts. Amen.